Good morning. I have two passages for us this morning that my message comes from. First is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, which says, "For we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." My second passage comes from Colossians 3, 1 through 15. For the sake of time, I'm only going to read verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 15, but at the 11 o'clock service, we'll read the whole 1 through 15, and I encourage you to read 1 through 15 on your own. What I want to talk to you about today is what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. So let's continue on with our scripture from Colossians chapter 3. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And then starting with verse 12, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful." So what does it mean when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are to walk by faith, not by sight? Well, I believe our passage in Colossians chapter 3 answers that. It tells us that we are to set our minds on the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then it goes on to tell us, in verses 12 through 15, how to keep focused on things that are above. And the way we do that is we put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing one another's burdens, forgiving if somebody has a complaint, and letting God forgive us, and above all, putting on love, which binds everything together. I think sometimes it's easy for us as Christians to lose our focus. And sometimes we, just keep confined to this world and to the knowledge of this world. And it can be a very confusing time because of all the different things, different news stations, news stories, political groups. It's a world of many different voices, and if you just confine your insight and understanding to this world, you lose your focus on what Christ has called us to focus on. And I'm telling you, sometimes it feels like what we focus on as Christians is not very relevant to this world. It feels like it's not respected, that living in the kindness and compassion and love of Christ isn't always appreciated or expected. And yet that's what we are called to do. That's what it means to walk by faith, not by sight, is we keep our minds on the things above where Christ is, and we focus on what Christ is doing. I want to read to you a C.S. Lewis quote. Thank God for C.S. Lewis, and his writings are always so timely. Here's what he says. "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for this present world were precisely those who thought most of the next world. It is, since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world, that they have become so ineffective in this world. I think those are very powerful words by C.S. Lewis, and they are very convicting to me because I find myself losing my focus and I find myself needing to get refocused. Do you ever feel like you need to get refocused in Christ? Thank God for his patience and his kindness and his love towards us, because we can get refocused at any moment, at any time, at any place, and start seeing things through the eyes of Christ instead of the eyes of this world. One of my favorite passages is 1 Corinthians 13. It's known as the love chapter. But at the end of that chapter, verses 12 through 13, say some powerful things. It says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." This fits nicely with our passage in 2 Corinthians 5, because 2 Corinthians 5 says, "We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord." See, that's why we walk by faith. We walk by faith because in this life, we are away from the Lord. We are in this body, and we are in a different world. And that's why we see in a mirror dimly, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. But then, and that means when we go through that heavenly door, whether it's we die or there's a rapture, however it happens, but then we'll see him face to face. "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." So we walk by faith as we focus on Christ, as we focus on the attributes of Christ. It takes faith to believe that you're God's chosen one. It takes faith that you are God's holy and beloved. It takes faith to put on a compassionate heart. It takes faith to put on kindness. It takes faith to put on humility and meekness and patience. It takes faith to bear with one another. It takes faith to forgive other people. It takes faith to receive forgiveness from the Lord. And it takes faith to put on love. 1 Corinthians 13 that I just read says that faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let's just remember together that faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest is love. When we have faith, we know God is doing something. When we have hope, we know that when God's done doing what he's doing right now, he will be doing something again. He has something for us at all stages of life. And above all, there's love that's with us, whether we're in the current state of doing what God is asking us to do, or we're thinking about what God's going to have us do next. If we focus on Christ and his love, we will be building his kingdom. One of my favorite kingdom parables is in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and it's known as the parable of the talents. And it's about a man who's going on a journey, and he calls his servants together and he entrusts to them his property. And to one, he gives 5 talents, to another, 2 talents, and to another one, 1 talent. And we're told that he gives to each of them according to their ability. And then he went away. And he tells us in the parable that the man who had 5 talents went and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. And the man who had 2 talents went and traded with them, and he made 2 talents. So the man who had 5 now has 10, the man who had 2 now has 4. But the one who received 1 talent, he dug in the ground and hid his talent. We don't really know why the third servant buried his talent. We're told that he had an excuse that he gave the master when the master returned. His excuse was that he knew his master to be a hard man. So he was afraid, and he went and hid his talent in the ground. So I don't know if that was sincere or an excuse. Sounds to me like an excuse. Could be he just didn't want to do anything with his talent. But to the two who did something with their talents, the master said the same thing. He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You see, I like this parable for us right now because I believe that as we focus on the things above, as we focus on Christ and his character and his nature, and we walk in his love, and we do that no matter what we're experiencing in this world, the focus of our lives and of our talents and our gifts will focus on what matters to God. See, we all have different talents and gifts and abilities, but what matters is not who's the most talented or who's the most gifted. What matters is that we all use our gifts and talents for Christ and his love in this hurting world. I want to end by reading once again that C.S. Lewis quote, because I think it sums up what I'm trying to say here. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. God bless you.